In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I eventually want to talk about this sense of Jesus being lifted up. I actually did talk a little bit about this coiled serpent around the staff that has become part of, I think, the American Medical Association, one of their chief symbols. But I'm not going to do that today, and I'm not going to talk about much of this incident in the wilderness with Israel. I want to talk about Jesus being lifted up on the cross and what that means for our sense of how we judge each other. But I want to back up a little bit, and I'm not even sure this is completely integrated with what else I have to say, but a couple of events this week. One was part of our interfaith program in Big Timber, where again, a wonderful couple that has been living in Bozeman for 30 years, practicing Islam that whole time, came to talk about their faith tradition to the people of Big Timber. And then a couple days later, I read an article that has been talked about some. I've heard references to it, published, I think, this month in The Atlantic, on the nature of ISIS. What does ISIS want? What's their relationship to Islam? And, boy, reading that put me again in mind as to what a struggle we have to make religion be a positive force for good in the world, because it often is not. Corey was listening to me walk around the house today sighing in the morning and kept saying, "You're sighing again," and partly because of that sense of religion is so crazy so much of the time. And what made me, the really disturbing part of this article from The Atlantic about ISIS is the degree to which it actually reflects what is written in the tradition of Islam. But before you get too exercised about that, simply consider what it would be like if a group from our own Jewish and Christian tradition decided they want to establish an earthly kingdom and assumed complete harmony between the Old and the New Testaments, and then decided that the legal structure governing our little world is going to enact every law and every punishment in the Old Testament. So that when your teenage son is insolent, looking out here at parents, stone him to death. It's there in the Old Testament. So the image that has come to me, Jurassic Park. The unfortunate juxtaposition of that which is ancient and that which is contemporary. When the Tyrannosaurus and the Velociraptor started eating people, people understood that that juxtaposition, that taking what is very ancient and bringing it into the modern world, doesn't work so well. It didn't work so well with dinosaurs. I suggest it doesn't work so well with religion. That importing something from 4,000 years ago or 1,500 years ago and trying to enact all of these laws makes for very bad religion. And what I am marginally qualified to speak about Islam, but I know that what I keep listening for as I listen to people talk about either their experience of Islam or people reflecting on the faith, what I keep listening for is something that the Jewish and Christian tradition has been wrestling with now for hundreds of years, which is to say, it is an historical and critical perspective on your own tradition, where you actually listen to the words and situate them in a historical period, and in a sense relegate them to that historical period. They understood things that way then, but we understand things this way now. And it also means coming to terms with the inescapability of human limitations. When we start talking about God, we are talking about God through the limitations of human language and human understanding. And that is not an easy bridge to cross for Christians. There's a lot of pushback about that, and you see groups forming which are essentially reactionary, fundamentalists, biblical literalists. I can't take up that historical critical perspective on my tradition. It will all fall apart. I can't do it. But I don't... It's the only way to protect us from the terrible viciousness of religion. When we forget that we are trying to speak about things that are ultimate, God, through the limitations of our human understanding, the moment we forget our human limitations, then we start acting as if we were God. And then we start killing each other. I mean, that, you know, cut to the chase. That's what we do. And that is the terrible, toxic destructiveness of religion. So I want to jump now to Jesus being lifted on the cross. Again, the connection that John makes between this incident with Moses. What happens when Jesus is lifted on the cross? It was human judgment that put him there. We judged this man, Jesus, to be evil, to be a blasphemer, to be godless, to be disruptive, to be a threat to everything that was perceived as good in that society. So when Jesus is lifted up on the cross and executed for the variety of his offenses, what happens is that it is not Jesus who is judged. It is human judgment that is judged on the cross. We think we're so capable of judging each other. How did we do with Jesus? How did our human discernment do with Jesus? We think we're capable of deciding who we should put to death. How did we do with Jesus? How did we do? It's human judgment that is itself judged when we crucify Jesus. And I don't know how far really to push what Jesus is doing when he says, I don't come to judge or condemn the world, I come to save the world. Now John keeps going, says, those who do not believe in Jesus are condemned already. That makes it sound very much like God is quite invested, like human beings seem to be, in punishment. And it may be that whole paradigm of punishment that Jesus is trying to do away with. But it sounds as if God is watching, and if you don't believe in Jesus, then you're going to get sent to hell. But I think that the issue is maybe simpler than that. Jesus comes to us and says, you guys live in prison. You are imprisoned by fear, and you are imprisoned by the fear of judgment. Anybody wrestle with feeling judged in your own heart? And when you wake up at 3 a.m. and you are imprisoned by fear and the fear of judgment. And I come and I say, come out of prison. Come out of prison. And if you come out of prison, you're out of prison. If you don't, you stay in prison. That's the condemnation. It's not like God is going to punish people for not believing in Jesus. If you don't believe in Jesus, then you're not opening your heart to how he understood reality. And Jesus understood reality in a way that was much more congenial to us as human beings than the way most of us live. It wasn't so afraid. It wasn't so concerned with judging other people. It wasn't so concerned with me. The way that Jesus offers us to live is a better way to live. What's the punishment if you don't stop smoking? Somebody going to come and throw you in jail? No! Your lungs are going to suffer, and your breath is going to suffer, and you might get cancer. That's the punishment. That's the condemnation that Jesus, I think, refers to, or John refers to. And let's consider. I mean, I was out on my walk again this morning, and I was looking at the crescent moon shining on the Yellowstone and the stars, and again, feeling myself to be a little person awake with this gift of consciousness on a tiny little planet in a large universe. And again, I ask myself, is the source of all this, is God, is the great creator of the worlds, as we just say, really as invested in punishment and blame and suffering and the imposing of suffering as we as human beings seem to be? Does that really make sense? Or is it really possible that when Jesus said, "I don't come to judge or condemn the world," he really means it? And he really says, your human concern with judgment and blame and punishment is bankrupt. All it does is it divides people, divides you from within, divides families, divides cultures, divides everybody. By their fruits, you shall know them. How are we doing with the fruits of judgment and punishment in the human community? Maybe we are simply wrong to the core that is a concern of God's. Maybe God simply wants us to start living as loving, awake creatures capable of giving thanks for the miraculous gift of being born on this little planet. I don't come to judge the world, but to set the world free. Why don't we try that for a change?